Good evening, saints and brothers in the Lord. It's to see y'all. It's a nice day here, beautiful evening. It was a nice warm day. It got back summertime again. That's all right. I'll get you back, Gary. Somehow, some way, I will get you. But tonight I'm going to be continuing on in my Ephesians 6 study. Be starting in Ephesians 6:10, and I guess I would say the title tonight could be strong, or be strong in the Lord, because I'm going to be emphasizing a lot on the strength that we get from the Lord and putting on the Christ, and we know that that's where we get our strength from, is our Lord and Savior Christ, our head. That's where I get my strength from whenever I have weaknesses and such. Y'all might hear a scooter over here rolling in the floor. Just excuse that. But like I said, it's good to see everybody in here, and hope everybody had a good day. And I hope you're edified by this message tonight. Excuse me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for this day. And Lord, for the so many blessings that we get in it that come from You. Lord, those blessings that we see, and especially those, Lord, that we don't see, that we know that have been given by You, for You, and from You. And Lord, I ask that You be with me this evening as I deliver this message, Lord, so that it can be for the beauty and edification of You, Lord, and for the body of which here on this message. For it's in all these things. And Lord, just be with me, Lord. I'm still nervous. Be with me, Lord. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, guys. Let me shake this off. Anyway, starting off in Ephesians 6:10, I'm going to read 6:10, 11, and 12. I don't know that I'll get through 12, but then again I might, since Gary kind of throwed me in here pretty quick. I'm going to start in 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this book, of this world. I forgot to start my recording, and I'm just hoping that Ronnie's got it started. There we go. I see Ronnie on here. Hopefully he's got it started anyway, but it'll be a little late. My message tonight is being strong, and reading 10 through 12, and I'm in 12 now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In 6:10, it says, finally, or from henceforth, from now on, from this time forward, to be empowered in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the power there is the Greek form kratos, and I get this from Appendix 172, and it's strength, or exerted, power put forth with effect. Now, this isn't the same power that's in Ephesians 1, 18 to 20, but I'll read that in a second. But it is the power of His might, and the might is ischus, and it's the strength, the power of His strength as an endowment, the physical strength that is possessed by the person. To be strong in the Lord, you must have strength, a strength of a spiritual kind, and such strength, too, as the Lord Himself can furnish. And you must have this strength through an indwelling God, the power of His might working in you, power of God's might working in you. In Ephesians 1, 18 to 20, we read, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power." Now, this is a dunamis power. It's a stronger form of power than Kratos, because this is a bringing back forth to life power. This is a resurrection power. "To us who believe, according to the working of His power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavens." Speaking of for God is strong in power, let's turn to Isaiah 40. It's on page 981 for those of you that have your CD. I can hear them pages flipping. Wished I could. It would be really great seeing a person. Because sitting here, this silence is deafening. Anyway, Isaiah 40, 21 to 31. God saying, "Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He, God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing." Now this is the princes upon the earth. "He that maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted." They're not going to have roots. "Yea, they shall not be sown." These are the judges and the rulers of the earth. "Their straight root in the earth, and He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" And 26 is my reference point. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, and by greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power. Not one faileth." In 27, "What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So God, he's saying here that God gives the power to the faint, to the weak. God gives might. He increases those that look on him. Says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Those are the ones that are strong. And the young shall utterly fall. But they, this is a famous verse in 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and be not faint. This is the strength that each person draws on from the Lord. In 10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The apostle added a general exhortation to the Ephesians and faithful in Christ to be strong in the performance of all their duties, which he enforced by the discovery of another deep article of the mystery of God, namely, that evil angels are leagued together against men and continually occupied in tempting them to sin, with the view to ruin them, but that the Ephesians might not be, or Ephesians and faithful in Christ, might not be too much terrified with this discovery. The apostle showed them what an excellent defense against the attacks of the devil that God has furnished with them. In the complete armor which He had provided for them, and called therefore the complete armor of God. When all is said and done, when I get through with my studies on the armor of God, it's going to boil down to one central point as being the armor of God. It's going to boil down to our Lord and Savior Christ, our head. That is our armor. Anytime we are weak, all we have to do is look up to Christ. Think on Him. I've learned several years ago when I'm having a bad dream, and I can have some bad ones, or I have had. I haven't had none lately. But when I have a bad dream, if I think on the Lord, that dream will disappear in a flash. Because Christ can control all those things. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on, well, I didn't read, to another, in Philippians 4:13, we get our strength in Philippians. And this verse, Candy puts on her heart pillows where she works. She works at a cardiovascular step-down unit where people that come up there are sometimes feel like they're on the doorstep, and some of them are. And she gives them a pillow with this verse on it. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And this, for the people that know Christ, can draw from this verse. They can get an inner strength to know that they can draw strength from our Lord. Because Christ is the one that gives us this energy, this strength to stave off the thoughts of the evil that surrounds us or the evil that is around us. In 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Or put on the Greek form, panoply of God, for to stand against the artifices of the devil. The idea is to clothe oneself with strength, as one puts on a garment. When we put on the whole armor of God, it's a garment that covers us. It's the garment of Christ Himself that covers us. I'm going to be going through several references here in Paul's book as to put on, to get a even better understanding in my eyes, Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read 53 and 54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And we're talking about the flesh. The flesh that we know it, because it's corruptible. And this mortal must put on immortality. And as you can tell, we're talking resurrection. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In Galatians 3:27, talks about baptism. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. A lot of people that are baptized in traditional churches, it's just an outward expression. But when you actually accept the Lord as your Savior, you are baptized in Him. You put Him on. In Romans 13:12-14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on, here's an armor, the armor of light. And this light is in several other references in Scripture as being Christ. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying. And those are just a couple of things that kind of hint at the commandments that Barney was talking about Sunday. How some of the commandments are still spoken of in Paul's books. In 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I like to say the Lord Christ Jesus, because Christ is the man after the resurrection. And make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And in Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on, you are putting on a new man. Because in four it just says that we have the old man. And be renewed in the spirit. And in 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And that you put on the new man. This new man is Christ. The image of Christ. To walk after Christ. Which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then again in 11 here, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we get into Colossians. One of my favorite verses or favorite books, Colossians 3, chapter 3, 1 through 14. I can't help but read the first 5 just out of enjoying the Word. 3:1, if ye with Christ, things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are assumed already dead, as we are, because our life is now hidden with God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. This mortifies to just basically put it to death. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And here they are. These are the members that you put to death. Fornication. Uncleanliness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which, in 6, for which things the sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, here we go, but now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. See here, we done put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on, clothe ourselves with the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Wherefore there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, a slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, here we are again, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, or bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on love. It says charity, but we've spoken of it before. Every time you see charity in Scripture, we say it is love, because that's what it is love. Which is the bond of perfectness. Now the panoply is the full armor. Here is put on the full armor, the panoply. It's the whole armor. It's used in three places. It's used in Luke when Christ is saying him, speaking of the apostles or those that are sitting around him. When a strong man armed keepeth his place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and he's not talking about a regular man here. He's talking about the spiritual beings. But when a stronger than he shall come in upon him and overcome him and take from him all his armor, panoply, wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. If the person that Christ is talking about here has this panoply, has weakness, and the evil spirits that are surrounding him are stronger, they overtake him. But if you, the body of Christ, have the strength that Christ can give you, we can withstand all the evil spirits. Also in Ephesians 6:13 it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And that stand is histemi, which properly denotes an upright and active position, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the wiles of the devil is methodia, metha, and hudyo. It's travestry, traveling over, or trickery, to wile, to lie in wait. In Ephesians 4:14, it say that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And we see this daily if we listen to the radio, but with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In 2 Corinthians 11:13-14, Paul says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. I have a man coming in the barbershop that claims to be an apostle. And I guess he, in his heart, he believes he is. He's a lost person, is all I can say. And in 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan is not this ugly creature that has portrayed him on TV. Satan is probably more beautiful than any person we could imagine. This is a problem that has plagued man from the beginning, being deceived from the truth and following lies, lust of the flesh, and greed. In Luke 21:8, Christ is speaking to his disciples, warning them signs of things to come. And Christ says, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. It's possible that this event hasn't even happened yet, because I don't remember seeing it happen in Scripture as seeing it written. So this is probably one of the last things that will be witnessed to those that are possibly alive today. In 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then we get into Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the interlinear reads it, because it is not to us the wrestling against blood and flesh, this is humans, but against principalities, which are chief rulers, being the first rank and order of their own kingdom, against authorities, and against world rulers or powers. And these exousia affirms that free movement is ensured to the ability and authority. It's a delegated power, the liberty and right to put forth power, and that's the authorities. And it's derived and constituted from the principalities. And against world rulers, it's the Lord of the world here, the world holders of this darkness. Against age this, against the spiritual powers of wickedness in the heavenlies. And that is in tois ephraniels. That is the upon heavenlies. When we look at Ephesians 2, we see, in which once you walked according to the age of this world, according to the rule of the authority of the air, this is the old man again, and the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. That is the old man, that remember, that we have put off. The spiritual wickedness are possibly the angels which kept not their first estate, who fell from the heavenlies places, but are ever longing for and striving to regain that position, have their station in the regions of the air. Perhaps the principalities and powers remain mostly in the citadel of their kingdom of darkness, but there are other spirits which range abroad, to whom the provinces of the world are committed. The darknesses is chiefly spiritual darkness, which prevails during the present state of things. And the wicked spirits are those which continuously oppose faith, love, and holiness, either by force or fraud, and labor to infuse unbelief, pride, idolatry, malice, envy, anger, and hatred. Now, some translate the words entois ephraniels. Now, these are other evangelists, I guess you could say, about heavenly things. That is, we contend with these fallen spirits for the heavenly things which are promised to us. And we strive against them that we may not be deprived of those we have. I personally don't feel that way. I personally feel like it's a possibility that we're going to need this armor not only now, but we're going to need this armor at His appearing. because there's a possibility that there's still a war that's going to take place in the upon heavenlies when the appearing takes place. This is just a thought. Because Scripture does talk about in Revelation about having the dragon cast out in Revelation 12. In Luke, so I'm doing Ephesians 2. Let's look at Revelation where it talks about 12, 9, and 10. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. As he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. But believers have not to fear, but being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We still have the blessings in the heavenlies that is our armor. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This supersedes any demons that are still in the heavenlies. This from God that we are to encompass ourselves with, to clothe ourselves with, this armor of God, is a blessing from God and our Lord Jesus. The teachings of Christ and His apostles is confirmed by our religious experience. Evil thoughts come to us which are alien from all our convictions and from all our sympathies. There is nothing to account for them in our external circumstances or in the laws of our intellectual life. We abhor them and repel them, but they are pressed upon us with cruel persistency. They come to us at times when their presence is most hateful. They cross and trouble the current of devotion. They gather like thick clouds between our souls and God, persons and God, and suddenly darken the glory of the divine righteousness and love. We are sometimes pursued and harassed by doubts, which we have deliberately confronted, examined, and concluded to be absolutely destitute of force. Doubts about the very existence of God, some people have, or about the authority of Christ, or about the reality of our own redemption. Sometimes the assaults take another form. They're evil fires, which we thought we had quenched, are suddenly rekindled by unseen hands. We have to renew the fight with forms of moral and spiritual evil which we thought we had completely destroyed. We got to think on Christ continuously. There's a power not ourselves that makes for righteousness. Light falls upon us, which we know is light from heaven. In times of weariness, strength comes to us from inspiration, which we know is divine. We are protected in times of danger by an invisible presence and grace. There are times when we are conscious that streams of life are flowing into us, which must have their fountains in the life of God. There are times when we look around us and see the beauty of God. There are dark and evil days when we discover that there is also a power, not ourselves, that makes for sin. We are at war. The Christian, the body members of God on earth, is at war. With the kingdom of darkness surrounds us. We have to fight against the principalities, powers, and dominions, and therefore we need the strength of God and the armor of God, which is Christ. The attacks of these formidable foes incessant or unceasing. But as we can never tell when the evil day may come, we should be always prepared for it. After weeks and months of happy peace, they fall upon us without warning and without any apparent cause. I know personally strong men of God who suffer these consequences of family members. But they still hold faith in God. They still hold the armor of God. They wear the armor of God around them. They know that He is faithful. If we are to withstand all these evils, and if after one great battle in which we have left nothing unattempted or unaccomplished for our own defense and the destruction of the enemy, we are still to stand. To stand with our force exhausted, unexhausted, and our resources undiminished, ready for another, perhaps fiercer engagement. We must be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And we must take off the whole armor of God, which is Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You again, Lord, for this day. Lord, thank You for the truth in this Word. Lord, thank You so much for the strength that we can draw from You, Lord, when all we have to do is just think. Think on You, Lord. Think on Christ. Draw Your strength from Him. And stand on a daily basis against whatever foes Satan can cast at us or his evil minions. Lord, we know that we use Your armor on a daily basis. And we're thankful for that armor. Lord, I ask that You be with those that are online and those that are on our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord, and give those that are on our hearts the peace, the health, whatever their need may be. For it's in all these things I pray. In Christ, my Lord and Savior's name.